Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our party. This is Johnny Parker in the orchestra. And if you've been listening this week, you know that we've been celebrating my 30th anniversary with CBS. And each day we've had a lot of old friends, dear friends, visiting with us. This whole week, it seems just like a series of very happy parties. CBS has been repeating our show at night, so if anyone misses it in the morning, he can catch it on the network the same evening. And Saturday night, that's going to be something. We're going to climax the week by doing the first all-night, full-network, live variety show in the history of radio. We have a roster of stars and entertainment guaranteed to keep you glued to your radio. But speaking of stars, we have a pretty impressive lineup right here for you today. First, here in New York with me are the following folks. $160,000 worth of talent right here. To begin with, the incomparable Marguerite Piazza, who looks so lovely, and it's so nice to have you. Honey.
Thank you, Arthur. Certainly nice to be here.
You're in New York for something special besides this, too. What is it?
Well, I'm going to do the Jack Parr show a little later, but I'm here especially for you today.
Well, aren't you nice? Mm-hmm. Thank you. On her left is Pat Buttram from Hollywood.
The low part of that, how much talent did you say? I'm just hoping to get enough for bus fare back home.
All right. Well, on Marguerite's right is Gary Moore. How about that?
Hi, Arthur. How are you? Sorry I couldn't make it to your luau last night.
Oh, what a party that was at the Lexington Hotel. Wow.
Did you bring me some rum and a doggy bag?
Here I am.
Next to Gary sits Jimmy Cannon, the famous sports columnist. Jimmy, it's nice of you to come over. I hope you got your column all done for the day.
Yes, it's true, Arthur. And the reason I couldn't make the luau is I've been on a diet and I can't eat ukuleles.
Strings are the best part.
Next to Jimmy is another newspaper man, Rufus Jarman from Las Casas, Tennessee.
That luau, Arthur, makes me feel now like it's more of a celebration. It's sort of like a catfish fry. I've been wondering when we're going to get around to that.
Richard Hayes sits next to him.
Gee, it was a wonderful party last night, and I apologize. I don't know what for, but just to play it safe.
Well. Sammy Allred and the Giesenslaw sitting there. You boys all right?
Just fine. Richard says he knows he must have had a good time last night because his wife's been mad at him all day.
In Detroit is June Valley, who is appearing at the Rooster Tail, and Rosemary McGann and Fred Kendall, that wonderful couple that our radio audience became so crazy about, who are the stars of WJR. And in Hollywood, sitting there at a microphone, is Danny Kaye and Peggy Lee. Come on in here, folks.
Hello, Arthur.
Hi, Peggy.
Well, hello, Arthur. How's the QB?
Are you a member yet?
Yeah, I'm a QB.
Oh, man. We'll have to take an hour out and explain what that is someday.
Well,
for the time being, how close are you sitting to Peggy?
Well, I'm sitting opposite a table.
Now, that's better. I like that. That's all right.
Oh, first thing I heard, about you and the picture you have at home.
Oh,
where you say you're sitting as close as paper. Well, I'm sitting opposite to her. I have a much better look at her than you have, Arthur. She looks absolutely glowing.
Oh, Danny, thank you. But, Arthur?
Yes,
we
dear.
Really are sitting right next to you, right there, and it's such a pleasure to be able to do something to for someone as wonderful as you.
Sweetheart, it's just so nice of you to come up to the studios at KNX to do this for me. People have been paying tribute to me all week, and it's just gotten me overcome. You know what happened to me last night at the luau at the Lexington Hotel? Here was a celebration of my 30th year with CBS, and who came over to photograph it for their news service but Leonard Probst of NBC Television News came over with the camera crew and took a picture of the party and put it on the air.
Oh, that's
the greatest tribute I think I've ever had.
That's like Charles Finley attending a party for Joe Cronin.
Arthur?
Yes, Danny.
Now, who y'all got sitting alongside of you there? We got a lot of different accents.
You got a pretty good one yourself. Listen, before I forget it, you know what, Danny? Kay has got himself all of the Fame Awards, every one of them for his show. Isn't that great?
Yes, I think it's just marvelous. I hate him.
How are you, Gary?
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Peggy. Hi, Danny. Marvelous show, Danny.
Well, thank you very much.
You don't know, boy. I just sit there glued to it when you're on. You just kill me on a TV.
Oh, aren't you nice.
And it gets better and better. I'm serious. It gets better and better.
Well, I think the reason for that, Arthur, is I think we have probably the best staff ever assembled for any television show ever. They're the most remarkable group of people, and I'm deeply indebted to them. I'd like to say one thing here for a minute, if I may, Arthur.
Shoot.
I once made a trip with Leo DeRocher many years ago for the USO. And the boys would like to ask him a lot of questions about baseball players. And they'd ask him about a young man who was in the baseball profession for a couple of years, and he had made rather a remarkable record. And somebody said to Leo, "Isn't so-and-so the greatest, baseball player today?" And Leo said, "Well, right now he's the greatest second baseman around. But when we talk about great, let's take the record, and let's take the record of longevity. Let's take the record of how long a man can maintain his position. And then, after the years go by, let's see how really great he was." Well, I merely wanted to tell that story to illustrate to the people who are listening that any man who has been able to maintain his audience for 30 years and has done it on a level of fine entertainment is really a great champion, and I doff my hat to you, Arthur, in a great tribute.
Thank you so much, Danny. That's very nice of you. Very nice. It's funny, you and I had the same thought there at the time. I was thinking how nice it was for you to have all those Fame Awards, and this your first year in TV, and you stayed away from it too long. And on the other hand, here sits Gary Moore, who's been doing this show for how many years now, Gary? 10, isn't it now?
No. The variety show is, this is our sixth season.
Sixth.
That's S-I-X-T-H.
Thank you.
Sixth
thank
season.
You.
And I've got a secret's 12 years.
Yes. You talk about people with longevity, Danny, huh?
Yeah.
And then, exposing himself like he does all over the place.
Arthur, I just said that you've maintained a high level of radio entertainment.
Well, speaking of high levels of entertainment, I've got four fellas here. Four of my richer kinfolk, Danny and Peggy, and June Valley in Detroit, and folks here. I want you to listen to these people who are going to sing a tune right now for you in behalf of Morton House Oven Baked Beans, which is a favorite dish at our house. And if you like the best baked beans you ever had in your life, it'll soon be a favorite dish in your house if you'll just try them once.
Arthur, if you let me read some of the commercials, I can lose you some more sponsors than I did the last time.
No, you didn't. I'll never forget. He did one for Morton House. He did one for Morton House Oven Baked Beans, which was a beaut. You want to try it again? Go ahead. You know how good they are.
Yeah, but I haven't got any copy here.
Oh, you don't need any copy. Beans is beans. Oven baked beans, the way they bake them.
No, beans are not beans, Arthur.
That's a boy.
Because beans can be just beans with a lot of other companies, but Morton House baked beans are special beans. I mean, it's a very simple thing to walk in and say, "Let me have a can of beans."
See?
But you are a discriminating person when you ask for Morton House baked beans.
Boy, you're doing better than I ever thought of doing it. Morton House Oven Baked Beans, that's what he's talking about. And if you don't try them, you're silly. Now listen here to these Giesenslaws, please. I think you will agree with Danny when you've heard him that this is a really high type of entertainment.
One word of explanation to Mr. Moore and Mr. Kay, since our group is primarily for the listening pleasure, I think it could be adapted for TV.
Thunder rolling, lightning flashing, right through the middle of it I'd go dashing. Go show, I'd board go for you. If you only two. Hurricane winds blow grief and sorrow, but I'd go through one tomorrow. Go show, I'd board go for you. If you only two. There's no limit to what all I would do for you. Anything you ask of me, I'll make it my destiny. With thunder rolling and lightning flashing, right through the middle of it, I'd go dashing. Go show how far it goes for you. If you only two. I'll make it my destiny. With thunder rolling and lightning flashing, right through the middle of it I'd go dashing. Go show how far it goes for you. If you only two. Go show how far it goes for you. If you only two.
How about that, Jimmy Cannon?
Well, Arthur, I'm surprised you've got a bean spot on this program. After listening to all those southern accents, I thought this would be sponsored by Hush Puppies. Hot jobs. I feel like a guy been captured by the Confederate Army.
Tell Jimmy how to pronounce that hog jaws. That's not right.
Joel.
That's hog Joel, my boy.
Well, this is the way we pronounce it in America.
And it's very good, Arthur.
Didn't I hear some singing in the background? Where'd that come
beans
from?
Beans are best. Morton hounds, beans are best. Morton hounds, beans are best. When now you take a little old bean and you dip it in the brine and you go ahead and fire, well, the Morton House beans is the beans for you. Cause the Morton hounds, beans are best.
Jenny and Peggy, what a duet that is for Morton House Beans. This is a big day in their lives today.
Are they from Boston?
House beans is the beans for you. Cause the Morton House beans are best.
Jenny and Peggy, what a duet that is for Morton House beans. This is a big day in their lives today.
Are they from Boston, by the way?
No, dear. No.
Well, that's what I thought, because I wrote a song called I Love Boston, but there's no beans there. And I got cans of beans and bean recipes. Morton House beans are best. Morton House beans are best.
Marvelous, marvelous. You don't mind now if we jump to Ovaltine, do you? That's the next sponsor.
Ovaltine. Beans are best.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Ovaltine is marvelous stuff.
It sure is. You been drinking it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any bags under my eyes. No circles under my eyes. Now they're ovals. No, huh?
I didn't know you were supposed to drink Ovaltine. I've been smoking.
What do you think of that Tipperillo I gave you?
Well, it's great.
Remember at the party the other night, you gave Monique
a
Robert Burns of smoke? And she's been hooked on him ever since. Now when I come home and I see a cigar in the ashtray, it's hers.
That's Richard Hayes. Okay, now hold it right here, will you? And go out and get a 5-pack of Tipperillos for me. You go buy a 5-pack of Tipperillos and try them. If you don't like it, you just send it back and it'll give you all your money back. Now what's nicer than that, huh? A pack of Tipperillos, 5-pack, costs how much?
25 cents.
Is it 25 cents? Is that what it is? Okay. And if you don't like it, you say, no, Arthur, I'm sorry, it doesn't work, send the other 4 back and we'll smoke them and send you 20 cents or 25 cents. Is that fair enough? Okay.
Send it to my wife. She smokes them now.
Okay. Marguerite, you going to sing for us today?
Love to.
Marguerite Piazza. Of Memphis, Tennessee. Mother of how many children?
6.
Would you ever believe that she and Elvis Presley are in the same town?
Yes, all the time.
Isn't that amazing? Hey, Maggie, did you have a baby since I've seen you last?
Yes, I did.
When did you see her last?
In New Orleans, what?
At the Roosevelt.
What, about 2 years ago?
Yes, she's a year and a half.
Yeah.
Marguerite Piazza, in case you just joined us, is here in New York, and Danny Kaye is in Hollywood with Peggy Lee at his side. And in Detroit is June Valley, who is appearing at the Rooster Tail, and those two wonderful singers from WJR you folks asked me to bring back, Rosemary McGann and Fred Kendall. And I'd like very much to hear just a little bit from Rufus Jarman about his part of Tennessee, which isn't too far from Memphis, is it, Rufus?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good ways off. It's about 250 miles.
And... Oh, well, oh, Lord, I didn't know that. That's...
It's a different culture.
Oh, I don't know.
We're more traditional around Nashville.
I never associated that word with Tennessee culture.
Oh, but...
Now, wait a minute. Them fighting words.
Oh, yes, Jimmy. They have a very a very amazing culture there.
Yeah, everybody's got a Greek name. They don't speak the language, of course, but pretty classical.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is the CBS Radio Network. Jimmy Cannon, Pat Buttram, Gary Moore, the Giesenslaw brothers, Billy Dupree, Rufus Jarman, and Richard Hayes in New York. In Hollywood, Danny Kaye and Peggy Lee. And in the studios of WJR in Detroit, Rosemary McGann and Fred Kendall, and June Valley.
Hi, Arthur. I can't tell you how nice it is to be able to talk to you on and be a part of your 30th anniversary.
Don't think it would make... Just wouldn't be a good party without you, dear. Tell me how things going at the Rooster Tail.
Just great, and thanks to you, everybody's coming in. They listen to your show, and they hear all the guests, and they just love it.
Did you get over to the Top of the Flame to have dinner?
No, I'm going there Sunday. That's my day off, so I'll be able to, you know, relax.
Well, good, and be sure to give Fumiko my love,
huh? I certainly will, Arthur.
Will you open the second half for us? From Detroit, June Valley is singing, and in New York, Johnny Parker and the orchestra. This is radio, folks.
Whether you are here or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander, I'm growing fonder. Even though your friends forsake,
you know, it feels like I'm right with you, right in the studio. And thanks, Johnny Parker, too, and the boys. They're so great.
They're in great shape. They went to the luau with us last night over at the Lexington Hotel.
Happy New Year!
Hey, Arthur, speaking of radio and speaking of Detroit, we would like you to hear a message that we received from an old friend of yours out there in Detroit. The mayor of Detroit, the Honorable Jerome P. Kavanaugh.
Ah. Certainly all Detroit congratulates Arthur Godfrey on his 30th anniversary this week. Most of the time, of course, Arthur Godfrey on CBS has been carried by station WJR. I particularly have some fond memories of Arthur Godfrey because back in 1952 he was here in Detroit. And he crowned as the queen of the University of Detroit Spring Carnival, my wife-to-be. Ever since that time, of course, we've been particular fans of Arthur Godfrey's. But the people here in Detroit have great appreciation and affection for Arthur Godfrey for many reasons, not the least being that he started his very illustrious career right here in our city back during the middle 20s. So congratulations from Detroit and from myself to Arthur Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's very kind of you. And I hope you'll give that lovely wife of yours an extra big hug for me tonight. Oh, she was lovely. She still is, but I mean when I crowned her queen that time. You looked a little skeptical then, Gary Moore, when he said I started in Detroit.
You know, I thought I knew almost everything there was to know about you, and I just had not known about the Detroit a chapter of your life. I was also a little startled lest the mention of Detroit get people to talking about how dangerous automobiles are because I'm also on for Oldsmobile. I could lose my whole job here. Anybody got anything against wax? You can slip on it and fall down and hurt yourself.
Don't bring it up. Nobody will think about it.
Gary?
Yes, Danny?
Why don't you join Arthur and me? We'll go on for an airplane sponsor.
Shut up, boy.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, Danny, you got to fly this Gulfstream one day soon.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, I got to tell you about decaf, which is a coffee with wake-up flavor but no caffeine. You got
Will you give us just a minute, Arthur, while Peggy and I make up a song?
Okay, you make it up while I talk about it. Decaf has rich, rewarding coffee flavor without the drawbacks of caffeine. It lets you enjoy coffee pleasure without the penalties. 97% of the caffeine is removed before roasting, but when you taste it, you'll never know it. It is so rich and so satisfying. Really, this is a delightful beverage, and you can have all you want of it before you go to bed or any time, and it will not keep you awake. Decaf won't upset the nerves or the digestion, and it won't keep you awake nights. Decaf, it lets you sleep. And how does the song go, Danny and Peggy?
Decaf coffee's good for you. Decaf. Decaf coffee's good for you. Let you sleep the whole night.
How about that?
Arthur, there's a man here from the Stephen Foster Foundation with a summons in
his hand. It's funny, all this time I've been drinking doodah.
Hey, Gary, you can get into trouble with that, too, I'm afraid.
Oh, marvelous. No, really, I started in show business in Detroit. Let me tell you this quickly. I was a cemetery lot salesman in Detroit.
Just hold it a minute.
Let me hear you swing on that, Danny. The name of the song is It's the Berry.
Cemetery lot salesman. You go ahead.
Or just there. One to a customer.
That's right. That's right, Jimmy.
You dig me, I dig you.
Oh, oh, no.
And furthermore, friends, they're non-habit forms.
Maybe you better let me sell some Gillette stainless steel blades here,
huh? No, I tell you what. All right, go ahead.
If we keep talking,
thinking about Gary's sponsors, you can give him the Gillette blades.
I'm going to need them.
Yeah.
Cut my throat right after the show.
Gillette stainless steel blades, plus a giant size can of foamy instant lather shaving cream. 6 Gillette stainless steel blades, plus the foamy instant lather shaving cream, regular or menthol. It's $1.87 value, and you can have it for $1.50. You save 37 cents. That's all, my friends. Let me hear you sing about that one.
It's certainly a wonderful blade. I have used blades.
Oh, my heavens. What a bunch.
Pat, you haven't said much for a while.
I was thinking about Gillette, though. Out in our neighborhood, the kids now, the young kids can go out, and they say they can slash 5 tires with 1 blade now. They're great.
Real. Oh, what a nice item. Listen, somebody say something about Baltimore. Weren't you born there, Gary?
Yes, I was. And that's where I first heard you. You got just a little jump on me, and you were operating over in Washington. And
I went from Baltimore to Washington.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you and I both, I think, made our initial broadcast on the same station, which is no longer one of the faithful here.
Yes, ours is WCBM now in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Very fine outfit.
You know, Arthur, people are surprised to find out that you sold cemetery lots, and I was so surprised to find out there was a book out about a year ago called O'Neill, and I was so surprised to find out that Gary Moore at one time was a collaborator with Eugene O'Neill.
No, you think about F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I'm sorry, F. Scott Fitzgerald. See, I read two
books. Got another blade?
I will wax my face first, though.
Thank you.
You know, Gary and I used to, in the early days of radio, we were around Chicago together when a lot of the old early shows came out of there. Back in the days when the original cast was doing the Untouchables back there in those days.
That's right.
quite a group we had, wasn't it?
Oh, boy. Hmm? Peg, lest I sound pretentious, Arthur, in saying that I collaborated, which was Richard's word, with F. Scott Fitzgerald. This was a collaboration on a play, but it never got anywhere. We never finished it, and it was for only a period of about 3 months. And the way I've seen it written up, you think I gave him some ideas, which I never did. I was 19 at the time. So I just don't want anybody to get me wrong ideas about it.
Gee, I'm sorry I brought it up.
No!
Can I have that blade now?
Peggy Lee, darling.
Yes, dear.
Where are you appearing these days where folks can come see you?
Well, that's very nice of you to ask, Arthur. I'm going to be opening at Las Vegas at the Riviera January 27th.
And you, how long will you be there?
I'll be there for 3 weeks.
I'm going to fly up and see you.
Will you, Danny?
Sure.
Oh, I'm very excited about the new act. Go Arthur,
yes.
What's the matter with that Gulfstream? Make it out there, too?
Yeah, I'll say it will.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, sir. Danny, what day are you going up to see Peggy Lee?
When is the 27th?
It's next Monday.
On a Monday?
Yes.
Oh, I can come up on a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Great.
Just name the day, boy. I want to be there that day, that's all. Protect my interest.
Well, come on.
I'll be very happy to see you.
Oh, boy, would I love to. I love to watch Peggy work. Peggy and Danny, please rehearse a new song. Breast of chicken tuna.
What?
Oh.
Breast of chicken tuna.
Oh, well, okay.
Breast of chicken tuna from San Diego. This is the company that owns its own fleet of clippers. They catch the fish, and they freeze it instantly, and they bring it right to Dockside in San Diego and prepare it in the beautiful, immaculate, ceramic tile-walled kitchens that rival the cleanliness of your own home. This is all done by the same outfit. The quality control, therefore, is complete from start to finish. You never need worry about tuna if you get breast of chicken tuna. There's one place you really must be brand conscious, dear friends. This is an all-American outfit Breast of chicken, tuna, they only use the best one-third of the fish in the first place to put in the can. And it is absolutely delicious, delightful. Use it, use lots of it, serve plenty of meals with it, and never worry one instant. It is breast of chicken, tuna. Let me hear, boys and girls.
Well, what? Is that us?
We've
been rehearsing here, and we have come to the conclusion that the three songs we just made up are not for public airing.
I want to hear something about breast of chicken tuna.
Well, I'll be happy to tell you about it. I can't talk about breast of chicken tuna because I think one of our sponsors has something to do with a tuna company.
Oh.
I can give you an unsolicited testimonial.
Well, Gary?
Yeah, well, you know, they call it breast of chicken tuna to indicate, you know, the plumpness and the freshness and so forth. In our supermarket, when they want to sell chickens, they advertise it as breast of tuna chicken.
I want to thank you.
You will eat tuna. Best of chicken tuna all the sea.
Danny didn't like that.
That's I love it.
It doesn't
really
swing.
I don't think it's one of our better efforts, though.
No, I don't either. I
knew that act wouldn't last.
Now listen, while you're sitting there talking, let me introduce you to a young couple in WJR Detroit. WJR Detroit sports a number of very fine radio shows with live music and live singers and live people. And the late Edgar Guest's son, Bud, runs a very fine program there, which sports an orchestra, kind of like ours over here. And a couple of singers whom I brought here to New York about a month ago and introduced to the network, and our listeners are just crazy about them, and it just wouldn't be right if we didn't hear from them tonight.
Hello, Arthur.
This is Rosemary McGann.
Hi, Arthur.
And that is Fred Kendall. And these two people are going to sing a duet for you, the kind I think you would like very much to hear and haven't heard enough of over the past few years. Johnny Parker in the orchestra in New York. Rosemary McGann and Fred Kendall in the studios of WJR in Detroit. This is radio.
thank you all very much, Arthur. And for Fred and myself and also the staff of WJR, we want to congratulate you on your 30th anniversary with CBS. We hope you have 30 more.
Thank you very much. I'm started on the second 30.
Very good.
That's a great song. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go see Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy singing that nose to nose, full voice.
Hey, I got a new thing for a song.
What?
Aunt Jane's Pickles.
Oh, boy.
Well, what?
Aunt Jane's Pickles.
Aunt James Pickles.
Not James, James.
Aunt Jane's Pickles.
Aunt James, what kind of deal is that? Aunt Jane.
She certainly is.
Aunt Jane's Pickles. And they... They got some things called candied dill strips.
Oh, that I've got to hear when they get that.
That sounds like a sign in front of a burlesque house. Candy dill strips.
It's the first time they raided a pickle factory.
Pass the blades, boy. Aunt Jane's candied dill strips. Try them next time you go to the store.
Sounds like dessert at an orgy.
Oh, heavens. Peggy Lee, please tell me, how goes the Dooley Foundation?
Oh, it's going very well, Arthur. My dear, beloved board member. We have a distinguished new member. I imagine you've probably heard about it. Cabot Lodge has joined us.
Uh-huh.
And sometime in the very near future, he will be given the Splendid American Award by the foundation for the work that he's doing over there in trying to help the entire cause along.
Tell us about the little boat, Peggy.
Oh, the Peggy E. Lee?
Yeah, the Peggy E. Lee.
I understand that it's really doing a lot of good work. And then, of course, the Jeeps are working in the rough terrain out there. That's Lady and the Tramp. And
those are names of the Jeeps. The Lady and the Tramp. Isn't that cute?
Would you explain what they do?
In that part of the country, you know, the wheel wasn't invented until Tom Dooley was there. I landed one day in Muang Sing in a little airplane that I gave him to get around in that country with, and they saw the first Jeep they'd ever seen in their lives, and it was the first wheel they had ever seen. Mm. Imagine that. And that's only... How long ago was that? Only 3 years? 4 years, wasn't it? Four years, yeah. 4 years ago, imagine... just about 14 hours flying time from here live people who never saw a wheel before.
They're probably more interested in the wheel than they were in the Jeep.
Well, I tell you...
The funniest thing is what happened to Arthur with the Jeep.
tell that story, honey.
Well, you tell it. I don't like the way you tell it.
Well, there was only one Jeep, see? Until then we got him another Jeep. And what do you suppose they had right away? A wreck.
I thought you were going to say they had a baby Jeep.
Hey, new song, Cranberry Juice.
Oh, well.
Ocean
wow.
Spray Cranberry Juice.
Put them on your dill pickles.
Dill pickles with cranberry juice. That's great.
Pass Mr. Moore another blade, will you? Ocean Spray cranberry juice.
Beans, cranberry juice, Aunt Jane's pickle, and...
You got a marvelous memory, Danny.
What? Yeah.
Listen, I want you to drink lots of Ocean Spray cranberry juice, my friend. If you've been listening to me, you know the story of it. When I had this lung taken out, I'll tell you again now. When I had this lung taken out full of cancer... When I came to, my nurse handed me some cranberry juice, and she kept doing that every day. And I said to her after a week or so, I said, how come you keep giving me this cranberry juice? It's very good. I like it, but how come so much of it? So she told me a story, which I'll tell you very briefly. 1 year exactly prior to that time, this girl, this nurse, had been opened up. The doctor said, I'm very sorry, there's nothing we can do, it's too late, and closed up again. And she went to Cape Cod to die. And while she was there, a dear old woman who, in whose house she was convalescing, started feeding her cranberry juice, made her drink it, 5 or 6 glasses a day. And she came back, and 1 year later, she was my nurse, and there isn't tumor A within that woman. Mm. Now, there's no scientific basis for this. There's no, the medical society, would, the medical people will tell you, well, there's no, nothing about this. You know, there's no scientific fact behind it. But it did happen. Perhaps it was a coincidence. Maybe it was. Me, I'm drinking cranberry juice, fella. And you go ahead and get your blades. Ocean Spray cranberry juice is a very fine product. Drink it and drink lots of it.
It's very high in vitamin C, isn't it, Arthur?
Well, they add that. They add it to it. You know, you can add vitamin C to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some vitamin C in it, but they add it so that it gives you your much more than you need. It's very good. Now, let me see now. Where are we at now? We've heard from June in Detroit and Rosemary and Fred and Peggy and Danny in the coast and Richard, you haven't sung a song in a week.
That's right. Why don't we leave it that way?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You just heard Richard Hayes.
When you get up to sing a song, every singer looks to, you know, I hope the show doesn't run out to sing your song. But I have had such a delightful time this past week.
Hasn't
really,
it been fun?
Wonderful.
And your wit has been a very fine substitute for your singing.
You. But if you'd like me to sing, I would.
I'm sorry, we just got off the air. But before we go, sing about contact, will you? Contact. That's not the old aviator's cry, Danny Kaye. Contact is a very fine thing that a feller takes, one in the morning and then one at night. And it relieves the stuffiness and the sneezes and he can sleep. And that's the way you cure a cold. Get contact and don't let anybody talk you out of it. How's it go, Danny? Contact?
You don't cure any cold.
That's right, except by sleeping and resting. Yeah. Nothing cures the cold except rest.
It keeps you from sneezing a little bit. That's
so you can sleep.
Yeah. Arthur, I use it.
Give me a blade for Kay. He's working on it.
So do I, Arthur. I use it. It's very, very good, but I must say, it doesn't let me sleep.
No? Why? No,
well, because I worry about, you know how they say it's got those... hundreds of, of tiny
600.
Tom bombs.
Yeah. 600.
You know, I lie there all night and wait for those little bombs to go off. You know, and I kind of jump in my sleep.
There goes another one.
On a quiet night, you can hear them.
They do a great job.
I would like to say, Arthur, if any, in
case you run short of time, and before we do leave, I did want to tell you that it's been most enjoyable hour, and I'd like to say that I was delighted to be here, and we all wish you continued success. And should we run out of time before we can say goodbye, this is saying goodbye for just tonight, and I hope to see you and be with you again in the very near future.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danny.
Yes, Kaye. And may I second that, and I hope to see you in the near future, Arthur.
That Gulfstream gets to Vegas, you will, baby, now.
Wonderful.
Take it easy now, and thank you so much. And you too, June Valley.
Bye, Arthur.
And Rosemary and Fred.
Goodbye, Arthur.
My best to everybody in Detroit.
Thank you.
And Marguerite Piazza.
Thank you, dear.
And Pat. Jimmy, do you understand Rufus Jarman now?
No, I don't.
Well, now he's.
If I could speak his language, I may get to be able to communicate with him.
He could read my writing when I spell it right.
Gary, and thank you, Richard, and Sammy. You know who else is here that we never got a chance to hear from? Never mind, it'll be on tomorrow. That's Billy Dupree. Billy Dupree over there. Thanks, everybody. God bless you, and we'll see you all tomorrow, be the good Lord willing. This is the CBS Radio Network.